Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
It's the day of reckoning, almost. A Monday of reckoning. Coaches being fired. We're at the point in the NFL season and the college season where you've seen enough. Good or bad, you've seen enough. We could start to form some opinions. That's exactly what a couple administrations and or programs did. James Franklin, see ya! Brian Callahan, see ya!
Not very sensitive.
See ya. Coach is out. Got a lot of to react to. MLB playoffs. Mariners stole one. A great Friday night. Game 5 against Detroit. They're able to steal game 1 against the Toronto Blue Jays. Get game 1 between the Brewers and the Dodgers tonight. You get game 2 between the Mariners and the Blue Jays starting about right now. We'll give you updates as we continue on the program. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo here. We got Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Kapp behind the glass. It is the 13th of October, 2025, a Monday edition of the program. Got you for 3 hours today, up until 7 p.m., because we got the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet, starting at 6. Got a lot to do, got a lot to talk about. We'll start with the pressing nature. This came out just about 2 hours ago, give or take. And the Tennessee Titans, who, keep in mind, this has been a team who quietly had the number one overall pick, who has quietly deployed a number one overall quarterback who went to the University of Miami and has quietly stunk. And they have now fired their head coach, Brian Callahan, after starting the season 1-5. He has 4 wins throughout his 2 years there. They've seen enough. Goodbye. Enough.
The reason they saw enough was because of how poor Cam Ward looks. Like, we talk a lot about the New York Giants, Brian Daboll, what he needs to do to keep his job. And ultimately, if Jackson Dart looks like the guy, he'll probably be around in a 5 or 6 win season. The issue with Tennessee is that I'm not sure Tennessee is going to get to 5 or 6 wins, or rather, under Coach Callahan, you weren't even sure that they were going to get to 5 or 6 wins. And also, Cam Ward looks like he stinks. And now, I'm not there. I think Cam Ward is a heck of a player. I think Cam Ward is going to be a good NFL quarterback. But I give credit to the Tennessee Titans, who wanted to rip the Band-Aid off. You know, they got rid of Vrabel. A lot of people were on them for that. I remind everybody, and I'm a Mike Vrabel guy. It's a Buckeye there, all right? I love Vrabel, and he's doing a good job in New England. But Vrabel didn't do much of substance in the playoffs. So I feel like they wanted to take that next step with the organization, bring in an offensive guy like Callahan, a quarterback whisperer, a quarterback guru. Didn't turn out to be that way, and they ripped the Band-Aid off. This is, now, I believe Brian Rowitz, our content director, sent us the tweet, Kyle. If you want to pull it up, make sure I'm right here. What, this is like the third first overall quarterback to have a coach fired midseason? Caleb Williams.
Fourth straight.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, Cam Ward, and I'm missing one. But regardless, I mean, this is
Young.
It's on par, right? It's on par. If you're going to mess up the franchise guy, you're not going to be around. And that's exactly what Callahan and the Titans did. They didn't look good. That offense was terrible. Miserable. One of the worst in the NFL. And they get bamboozled like that. It's one thing to play the Raiders close. Two bad teams, all right? If they played the Raiders close, they weren't even in that game. That was a disgrace. I mean, our content director, Brian's a Raider fan. He took a victory Monday off. He's not even here today celebrating that victory. So you got to, I give the Titans credit for ripping the Band-Aid off, Colin. I really do.
I don't, because here is, if you want to add some context to it, Mike alluded to it, this has been the fourth straight number one overall pick that has had their head, number one overall pick quarterback that has had their head coach fired in the middle of the season. Trevor Lawrence had Urban Meyer fired, Bryce Young had Frank Reich fired, Caleb Williams had Matt Eberflus fired, and Cam Ward has now had Brian Callahan fired. That's 4 straight. If we're looking around thinking, boy, should we follow the Bears, Panthers, and Jaguars as our role models in this situation, I would think the opposite. And on top of that, let's take a look at the Titans ever since they traded A.J. Brown, which was in April of 2022. December of 2022, they fired their general manager. January of 2023, they got a new general manager in there. Then they got The first thing he did after 1 year is fire Mike Vrabel. So new GM fires old head coach. Then all of a sudden, a new assistant general manager gets promoted to the president. Brian Callahan replaces Mike Vrabel. Then, a year later, they fire that previous general manager who hired the previous head coach. After that, they get a new general manager in January of 2025, and 7 months later, he fires the previous head coach that he inherited when he got there. This is exactly the problem that has plagued the Bears, that has plagued the Jets before they really cleaned house with Joe Douglas out. This has plagued all the bad franchises throughout the NFL. And it's the fact is that they haven't lined anything up. They haven't lined up the new coach, the new general manager, and the new quarterback at the same time. And that is the major problem here, and that is why I think this will continue to struggle for the foreseeable future.
Agreed. And the conversation always is, hey, we didn't draft this guy, or hey, this wasn't a guy that we rated and we inherited him. Those guys usually aren't around for a long time. My only pushback, Colin, were you keeping Urban Meyer? Were you keeping Matt Rhule?
I'm not saying they should have. And Urban Meyer was hired. That was a one and done. That's an outlier here. The rest of them were carryovers from the previous season. So you got to consider that. Mm-hmm. So Urban Meyer was a one and done. That was just a disaster. Outside of that, there have not been situations where the number one pick has had an opportunity to have a new coach alongside him. Some people don't like that, or a new hire, I should say. Not a new coach, a new hire alongside him. That, to me, looks like a lot more stable of a position comparatively.
And off of that, look at the guys who have went like two. Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud. These guys have been in the playoffs. Guys who have won playoff games. I understand C.J. Stroud isn't the...
And Daniels walked into a team with a new general manager, a new head coach, and an entirely new coaching staff.
They're all on the same page. And as a Cleveland Brown fan, that's why I actually am happy you brought that up, because too many times that goes under the radar of like... You know, I go back to Baker. You know, Baker, Kevin Stefanski inherited Baker. I don't think he ever wanted Baker. Lo and behold, Baker leaves, and now he's elite
they
somewhere
want the
else.
Job. They don't necessarily. Exactly. They think they can maneuver the team, which is fine. You can't blame the coach for thinking right. like that. You're not supposed to make it work if your system doesn't accommodate this specific player. But this is what happens to bad franchises. This is what the Titans have done because they are a bad franchise.
Let me ask you this. Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you see these number one picks. Is Cam Ward, where is he going to fit into with those? Because all those guys I just named that were number one picks, they're kind of, Colin, they're kind of just there right now, right? They're kind of just guys in the league and not the ultimate superstars
that you
wanted
them
to be. And you
know why? Because they do not have good systems. So that is why that is a problem.
Do you think the bleed over effect is going to be the same thing for Cam Ward? Is he going to be able to overcome? We're on year five, year four with some of these first overall picks, and they still don't really look like the franchise guys.
And let's look around a little bit, because the Panthers have not had any ounce of stability. The Bears have not had any ounce of stability. The Jacksonville Jaguars haven't had any ounce of stability. And you're looking ahead. The Giants are probably going to be added to the fold as another team that doesn't have an ounce of stability. And then you're going to fold in the Titans, who haven't had an ounce of stability ever since they went to the AFC title game 4 years ago. So we're looking here thinking, oh boy, why aren't these guys working out? Why aren't these quarterbacks succeeding? Well, ding, ding, ding. The NFL is 80% coaching. 80%. It is 20% how good the player is. If you have the right coaches and stat on the team, take a look at San Francisco. If you have the right coaches deployed in the right spots, the team can be good, because they know exactly what to do in terms of putting the right guys in positions to succeed, especially offensively, especially a quarterback.
Vikings is your perfect example of that with Kevin O'Connell.
If you need the right coach, and I understand if Callahan wasn't the right coach and you knew that, what game were we playing thinking, boy, but he better turn it around this year? If you were under the impression that he wasn't going to work with Ward, or if he didn't love Ward, or you didn't think that this was going to, you know, a 5 or 6 year thing, you're washing the year. That's it. This is a wash. Because what are you going to do with Cam Ward now? You're going to have him play under an interim, and then you're going to have him play another new head coach. But not only playing under an interim for 10 games. He's not just playing for 2 weeks. This is the rest of the season we're talking about. This is between now and January. This is a long time he's going to be working with new interim, learning sort of a new system, because the new guy has to change it up. So it's going to be a new system, letting the quarterback do things differently, and letting the power dynamic completely shift. And then you're going to bring in a new guy with the old general manager, and the new guy might stink, but you're going to get rid of the old general manager because he's been there for a while. What they needed was a fire sale. And they haven't lined up the general. They lined up the general manager and the quarterback. They did not line up the coach. And I would argue that the coach is probably the most important of the three.
Yep. And just the even like I'm going to throw Baker into that mix with Lawrence, Young, Caleb, and Trevor. Yeah, because it's like Baker was on. The head coach got fired midseason. Then Greg Williams took over. Greg Williams does a comeback. Stefanski comes back. Stefanski calls plays. And Stefanski doesn't call plays. I mean, at that point.
How do you expect anybody to be good in that?
At that point, Baker was on his third or fourth offensive coordinator by the time he was in year 4.5 of the NFL. It's not sustainable.
And same thing with Lawrence. And Lawrence got five play callers in 5 years.
And that's why these teams continue to be dumpster fires. I blame ownership more than anything. I really do.
If you're going to play the game and you're going to rebuild, you got to wash everything.
And, I mean, Carolina, bad ownership. I don't know much about Jacksonville.
Bad ownership.
Cleveland, good people, bad ownership. Like, Chicago with the McCaskey family.
Not great. Not great people running the show.
That's what it comes down to.
Kevin Warren in there. Then they have Ryan Poles in there. It's a mess. If you're going to play the game of the rebuild and the Titans had a prime situation, they should have washed everything.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to bring in Ward. We know we have a new general manager. Let's bring in a new coach because the general manager doesn't love the coach. And the fact is, I'm sure the ownership allowed Callahan to be in the meetings or in the interviews for the new general manager, mm-hmm. and he shouldn't have had any say to do with it.
Yep.
Because the general manager is just worried about getting the job. He doesn't care about the coach.
And the owners, Kyle, their argument is, well, we didn't think they were the right guys, and we're going to try to get the right guys until we get them.
Does it sound unfair to build on that? Does it sound unfair to let go of the guy after 1 year when there's just so much going wrong with Levis and the team was a nightmare, he was hurt? Is it wrong that you could say the same thing with Jerod Mayo? And what do you think the Patriots are thinking now?
Yeah.
They're thinking, boy, wasn't that the right move.
And I wonder... And this is me thinking down the line, and I guess that's what happens, Kyle, when a coach like this gets fired in week 6. But the Jets, like if this Aaron Glenn, they lost again. I mean, they're 0-6.
I agree.
They're 0-6.
Really, really bad.
Wow.
That's a tricky situation. You can't do this every 6
years. Exactly.
So you're stuck with that. You're going to work with that.
At the end of the year, like we're mentioning guys.
I think that'd be quick to wash the whole thing, but I understand what you're saying.
But holy cow, if they win 2-3 games... And, like, Justin Fields turns out to be a nightmare. Now, he wasn't the franchise guy as it is.
I mean, he's saying he's not that good.
Exactly. But, like, did Aaron Glenn give you a good sample size? So, like, I just, when things like this happen, it gets me speculating, it gets me thinking. And I wonder also, too, Colin, keep it local. I wonder for a guy like Mike McDaniel. Again, they play yourself out of a game like that yesterday. They had the game won yesterday against the Chargers.
And we'll get into Tua and his comments, what he said post-game about guys showing up to meetings. We'll get into that later on in the show. But the one thing I would say for that is if you're comparing situations, the theme today is the bad situations. If you're going to compare the bad situations, there's a couple others that are in worse spots than the Miami Dolphins. Because the Dolphins are in the rare condition where they could wash everything. They have an opportunity to wash everything. They bridge Tua for a year. You don't have to play the guy after that, and you could get rid of the general manager and head coach, and nobody thinks it's too early. So that's why I think comparatively, it doesn't look good now. If the ownership, and Ross, if you're listening, I know you're down the street, but if they're willing to do that, that is an opportunity where you could do a full flush. And these half flush, what the Titans have done, what the Jaguars have done 10 times, with Cleveland, all these teams that don't want to go all in on the out, you can't go all in on the other side.
Right.
That's where I think that this is going to... And I understand, Callahan stinks as a coach. They don't like him. They don't play hard for him. That's fine. But you can still criticize them for bringing him back. Mm-hmm. That was where their mistake was. And now you're stuck in a terrible situation. And if anybody looks at this and says, well, Cam Ward stinks, how can you make that declaration with the situation that he has around him? Really? Because all he's going to do is play 2 or 3 years. They're going to trade him. And then what if he goes to a great team with a great coach and then he blows up and they're like, oh my God, don't we look like idiots? It happens more often than it doesn't. You know, it happened with Donald. It happened with Baker. These guys can be good in other spots. It is 75% coaching.
It is. And the organizational, I think, just riffs, dysfunction. I can't tell you how many times rooting for the Browns, it's like, oh, the GM likes him, but the coach doesn't like him.
I would always be in the favor, I would always be in favor, Kyle, full flush.
Kyle, the GM and the coach, they're not even on speaking terms. It's like, my goodness, that's just the sign of bad leadership at the top. And as I like these people, they're great businessmen. It's just different running a football team. It's a completely different business running a football team than Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah.
So, and then quickly on the Dolphins. Their problem was keeping around Chris Greer for as long as he did. That guy has survived about three head coaches, a couple of quarterbacks. It's like sometimes you need to rip that Band-Aid off, and that's why I'm giving Tennessee credit. That's why I'll give them credit to an extent, is that they felt like after a year and a half, this guy wasn't the guy. Go have the GM who, by the way, drafted the quarterback, right? The GM drafted the quarterback in the draft. Now find a damn coach that is going to be able to coexist with them. And even what the Bears did, they brought in Ben Johnson. We sit here and talk if we think Ben Johnson stinks or not, if that was a bad hire, whatever. He was a quarterback guru at the time, and he was someone who signed up for the Caleb Williams thing. So find your guy who's going to sign up for Cam Ward. Because once that coach gets hired, Colin, his name and his job are tied to Cam Ward in the number one pick. Similar to Dave Canales in Carolina, similar to maybe Cohen in Jacksonville. No, two coaches didn't survive Lawrence.
Lawrence would be out before Cohen is out.
You get the point. You get the point of the sense of the number one picks, the guys who come in late, they're tied to them.
And I think what you're trying to get at, and I agree with you, is when you do this at different times, when you're trying to put the pieces in at different times, all you're doing is shifting the scapegoat. Because scapegoat is the guy who's been there the longest, right? So when the Tennessee Titans get rid of the previous general manager and they keep the head coach around, well, the general manager's been here for longer. So he's the one who sort of ran his course more so than the head coach. And then they flip it. When the new general manager comes in, this is exactly what happened. Well, he's just got here, but the new head coach has been here for, what, 9 months longer? So therefore, let's get rid of him. There's the new scapegoat. So now the new scapegaot after this is going to be the general, manager. And then the quarterback. Yep. Because then they bring in the new coach, and they think the new coach is any good. This was only the case with bad franchises. This is the case for the Giants, the Jets. This is going to be the case for the Dolphins, the Titans, the Jags, Cleveland. Fine. If the San Francisco 49ers were to move on from Sean McVay, they wouldn't fire John Lynch as their general manager. Let's make that clear. Because they know that they love the general manager. All these general managers that we're talking about, they have gotten question marks around them the entire way.
Yep,
and there's a reason when they bring in Kellen Moore to the New Orleans, they didn't fire Mickey Loomis, who's been there for 25 years. It's because they trust the general manager.
And it wouldn't... Like, Kyle, your San Francisco shot was a good one because, like...
If they get rid of Shanahan, they're keeping John Lynch.
And talk about two guys who are on the same page as Shanahan and Lynch.
Right.
They always are. Even when this, I remember the Ayuk needing a new contract. They were united on that. Brock Purdy needing a new contract. They were united on that. It's what a good organization does. You know what each, as far as players, the team, the culture, the direction of the team, you know where you stand. And I feel like with these lower end organizations, you never know where you stand. Oh, God, I got ghost stories about Christmas past with Browns. And Kyle, I was in that building, dude.
And you know who did it right?
It's a nightmare.
You know who did it right?
Who did
Full
it
flush?
Right?
The Lions.
Yeah, they did.
They got Brad Holmes in there, and then 3 days later, they got Dan Campbell in there.
And I also think who did it right were the Vikings.
Right.
Vikings did it right, too.
Mm-hmm. And their general manager, I forget his name, Mensah.
Yeah.
Ironically
enough, he came from Cleveland, and then they hired Kevin O'Connell.
And then they hired. So they need to be attached at the hip. Not one there a little longer than the next, and then all of a sudden, the scapegoat shifts. I'm surprised more teams haven't learned from this. If you're going to flip it, if you're going to flush it, flush it. If you're not, stick it out. Yeah. That's all I would say. If you're going to do this for the Giants, this is why this is a problematic situation. Because you're going to get a new general manager and you're going to get a new head coach. What are the chances that either of those guys or both of those guys are going to love the quarterback? They don't care that much about the quarterback. They want to run a team.
Uh-huh.
They want to coach a team. They want to get their job.
What's the famous saying? It's not their guy.
And
it's not their guy.
He's the next scapegoat. And then all of a sudden, they're going to bring in a new guy. And then all of a sudden, the new guy's not the scapegoat like Cam Ward is, and the previous guys are. And then if it still stinks, then the previous guys are going to be out, and then it's going to be a never-ending cycle.
And I know Pittsburgh Steelers fans out there, some of them can't stand Tomlin, mediocre Mike, we're not competing for Super Bowls. At least you're not that. At least you're not. At least you're not one of these franchises we've been talking about, like the Clevelands of the world and whatever. At least you're not going through the never-ending poop cycle of fire here, fire there, quarterback's fault, draft said quarterback, fire here, fire there, quarterback's fault. I mean, it's a never-ending wheel.
It's a never-ending wheel. If you're going to flush it, flush it. And if you're not, don't. That's why I think the Tennessee Titans are going to have another couple. I pity Cam Ward. I do. Because if you think that team, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe they're lucky and they get the perfect guy in there and they win 5 of their next 10 and they're able to show a little bit of life and you don't have to make much of a decision
also,
of bringing in a new coach.
The excuse that they use for doing that, oh, well, we're going to get ahead of everyone else who needs another. We're the first team that fired our coach, so we're starting our process now. And we're going to be ahead in said process than a team that fires their coach at the end of the season.
It doesn't make a difference.
And I've heard that my whole life.
It's because these coaches, the highly touted ones that you're probably alluding to, those guys get their pick of the litter.
Right.
Ben Johnson doesn't care if the Bear job opens 2 days ago versus 3 months ago.
And to that point, how appetizing does Cam Ward look? How after the first 6 weeks in the NFL season?
I can't. The thing is, I can't judge it. I can't because it's not fair.
I'm with you though. But
played six games.
You just said the pick of the litter.
I agree.
Who's going to be the one to fix that? Who wants to come in and fix that marriage?
That's more indicative.
You want to go in and fix that marriage?
That's more indicative of the organization. That to me, I can't blame the young player who's played six games.
I just can't
with a coach who was on his last leg.
Talk about Vrabel having the last laugh. And I like we can sit here and say.
People criticized the Patriots.
They did.
They criticized the Patriots when they got rid of Gerard Mayo after one season.
They turned Mayo into a martyr. That's what it was.
What are you looking at now? That team is awesome now. All of a sudden, quickly. That team is awesome.
And remember Drake May, who kind of looked like he stunk last year, first couple games. How does he look now?
And that was
part of the problem on that, too.
That was a weird spot because they finally got a guy who was able to work with the quarterback, and luckily both are good. It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes the quarterback's not good. Sometimes the coach's not good. Sometimes both are not good. But it's hard to make a judgment when there's so much turnover on either side. The kid's not even getting an honest chance, at least to this point. I pity the Titan fan. I do. And I hate the Titans because they're a Jacksonville rival.
Right.
That is an impossible situation now to navigate because you just got a new general manager in there. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat. Listen to Russo and Rizzo. Listen to Theoretically Speaking live on the ESPN South Florida app. You can get it on the App Store for free. And that's if you miss any of the show, you want to catch it live. It's all on the phone, on the app, all at one time. Listen to Inter Miami English and Spanish broadcast, especially on the weekends. You can hear Mike on the call. And you can listen to the Florida Panther games, which we have every single game throughout the season, the new home of the Florida Panthers on their quest for a three-peat Kaiser University football games. You have it all on the ESPN South Florida app. Download it today on the App Store. We're going to go through, speaking of the Miami Dolphins, we're going to get into what Tua said post-game about certain guys in the culture of the locker room. We're going to talk about how their terrible start is indicative of what other terrible starts look like. And we're going to start to judge if you'd rather be in the Dolphins' position or other terrible teams' position. We'll get into that and more next. Stick around for it. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Hey.
Shout, I know you be hearing this and that from here and there, but please trust and believe, little mama. I see you going to ride for me, so I'm going to die for you.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
888-760-3776. Should the Miami Dolphins completely flush everything out? What do I mean by that? It's what the Titans aren't doing. That's no general manager, that's new head coach, and that's new quarterback. Is that where we're at with the Miami Dolphins? 888-760-3776. Now I'm going to get into the program on Russo and Rizzo. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. Mike's got the hat on. He doesn't want to wear the Browns today. He wants to represent Men's Only Medical.
Absolutely. It's a Men's Only Medical Monday here on ESPN 106.3. Folks, you hear me talk about how I am doing I'm taking the preventative steps with Men's Only. So, you know, things down the line when I'm 50, 60, 70, you know, I don't have any problems. I'm going to be good. Well, Doc Al is also my primary doctor. And I got to say, you know, folks, I have something going on. I need to go see Doc Al. I hit up Doc Al today. You know, Doc, when can I get in? Doc Al could have got me in as soon as today. That is the concierge healthcare kind of service you're going to get at Men's Only Medical. It's not calling a godforsaken line and going, we have these appointments next Monday. Next. Doc Al's like, Riz, this is what I got available. I could get you in as soon as tomorrow. That is the concierge healthcare service you're going to get over at Men's Only Medical. I talk about the preventative stuff all the time. I'm taking the steps to make sure I don't have problems when I'm 50, 60, 70 years old. But folks, if you're out there, if you need hair loss solutions, you need a skin assessment, if you're having heart issues, Doc Al, expert cardiovascular healthcare, anti-aging, it's the one-stop shop health, men's health clinic, the one-stop shop men's health clinic here in West Palm Beach. Women have about six of these on a block. We got R1, baby. If you're a man out there, we got R1 with Doc Al and Men's Only Medical. And folks, I can't tell you enough. Have something going on. I need to see Doc Al. He's getting me in tomorrow. That's the concierge healthcare service Doc Al is going to give you. And thank God, because I need to get in there. I need to get in there and see Doc Al. Hit him up, guys. Men'sOnlyMedical.com. That is Men'sOnlyMedical.com. nursey.com. You can visit them on North Dixie Highway as well. Show up in person. Go see Nursey. Go see everybody. It is mensonlymedical.com.
888-760-3776. The Miami Dolphins, another classic Miami Dolphin game where they sort of let it slip away, let the Chargers could take control. A Ladd McConkey big reception to put them in field goal range to end off that game. And the Miami Dolphins once again, and this was at this was in their building. This was at home. This was at Hard Rock against a team that was reeling in the Los Angeles Chargers. They fall to 1-5. Tua Tagovailoa went post-game, and he's been very candid throughout the offseason about the inner workings of dynamics within the locker room, whether it be with him and Tyreek Hill and him and the head coach. And now they asked him about some of the inner workings with the dynamics of the players on the team generally. Take a listen to what Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, had to say post-game after falling to 1-5.
Yeah, well, I think it starts with the leadership and in helping articulate that for the guys and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late, guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up.
Tua Tagovailoa post game after the Miami Dolphins fell to the Los Angeles Chargers 29-27 to fall to 1-5 on the season. I mean, my takeaway from that, number one, he's being very honest, and number two, if players are showing up late to a players only meeting, which is DEFCON 1, if you're an NFL team. And everybody gave them criticism for having it after week one. And then now all of a sudden you're hearing that guys are showing up late. Guys don't take it seriously. You got to keep guys focused. Tua, he mentioned it starts with the leadership. You fall under that umbrella, pal. You are involved in establishing the leadership of the team. And I understand you've had health issues and the concussions, and you haven't been around totally year in and year out. Miami's a tough place to coach. There's a lot of distractions. But if there is not a bigger, hey, we're this whole franchise is on fire, if outside of what you're watching on the field, if there is not a quote that gives you that sense, take a listen to that. Starts with the leadership. Hey, guys are showing up late. Guys don't care enough. We're 1-5. This is another situation where if you're going to flush it, flush it. I think that's where the Miami Dolphins are heading.
What is all right? So Tua is complaining about guys showing up late to his player only meetings.
He said it starts. It's not just his.
I understand that, but he's the ringleader. You're the starting quarterback, right? It sounds like he's trying to take control of the situation. What it sounds like to me is that the players don't respect him enough to show up to his meetings. Players don't respect him enough to show up some stuff. It sounds like he's hurt that some players aren't showing up to things he is organizing. That's what I took from that. I think he's trying to be the leader of the team, set up these players-only meetings to show the coaching staff, show the front office, show ownership that he's trying to be held accountable, and he has an issue with my big thing is that where's the head coaching in this? I understand, like, Tua is one of the leaders. You're correct. Tua is the quarterback. You want the team to respect the quarterback. Where the hell is the head coach in all this? Why aren't we hearing this from the head coach either? And maybe McDaniel is taking a step back and saying, oh, this is a player thing. I have nothing to do with this. Fine, but Cohen, you were complaining last year, and for Poitier, because I didn't want to admit it at the time, but you said, Mike, this is a direct reflection of Mike McDaniel losing the locker room, some things that are going on. I mean, last year was a nightmare for the Dolphins early on in the season. And you mentioned that. You said, Mike, I think he's lost the locker room. I think it's proof that he's lost the locker room. I think fast forward a year later, it's the same issues. It's the same issues. The players don't respect the quarterback. The players don't respect the coach. You're in close games. It's not shocking to me at all that the Dolphins are losing close games, because that's what bad teams do. That's what bad coach teams do and bad teams do. I think Mike McDaniel is going to make a great offensive coordinator. I think Mike McDaniel is an offensive genius. I just don't know. Right now, from what I'm seeing with the Dolphins, he's not a head coach anymore. He's not. And listen, I don't blame the Dolphins if they want to keep him around the whole season. Fine. Get a good draft pick. Let him coach out the year. Who are you going to have step in and coach anyway? The offensive, like the backup quarterback coach? That's why, you know, Tennessee, like, they want to get it. They're going to tell you they want to get in front of the situation, get in front of the coaching search.
And you're not firing the general manager in the middle of the season.
But those games are unwatchable. Those Tennessee games are going to be unwatchable. Not saying the Dolphins are a good product by anything, but at least you're probably going to keep around the coach for the full year. But this goes, to bring it all full circle, McDaniel has no control of the locker room, and now the quarterback is calling out the locker room because they're not showing up to his meetings. This is a mess. This is a mess, and I like what you said when you said, Riz, they have a chance that they could completely blow everything up. They could get rid of the quarterback. They could get rid of that coach. They could get rid of the GM. If Stephen Ross is listening, when he's got a house down here, he told me he's got a house down here. If Stephen Ross is listening, I think you got to blow it up at the end of the year. I would probably let it go until the end of the year. Let Tua could. And by the way, Tua stunk yesterday. 3 interceptions. Game was darn near on him why they blew this game, because he couldn't hang on to the football. So same old with the Dolphins. I texted Doc Al from Benzoli Medical, Dolphin fan his whole life. I go, Dolphins hanging around. He goes, Riz, they'll blow it. And what did they do? They blew it. Dolphin fans know this team. They know this team at this point, and I think Mike McDaniel's a dead man walking at the end of the season.
I agree. I think this is probably the point of close to no return at this point. It's clear that they don't have any respect amongst NFL offices and other NFL franchises. It's clear they don't have respect amongst the players. And I don't think this is indicative as much about the quarterback, because it is the head coach's job to incite this. I think they really do, and it sounds counterintuitive because of what happened with Brian Flores, but I do think they need a new coach, a new general manager, and they need a bit of a drill sergeant, a guy who's going to tighten things up. And I don't think it's necessary to do it midseason. I agree with you. And because I don't think there's anybody waiting in the wings that
What's
are just,
that going
to
do?
There's nobody waiting in the wings that you want to get a rip at. And, you know, Tua is playing. So he's going to be the quarterback. So you have an opportunity to flush everything outside of that and find a new guy and a general manager who at the very least are tied at the hip together in philosophy. They're understanding that they're going to have Tua as their quarterback for at least the next year or two, and they're going to have to figure that out. Yep. And if it doesn't, then it allows that same group, unless they're really, really bad,
right,
it allows that same group to go get somebody for themselves and figure it out from there.
Kyle, I guess that's the theme of the show, the chain of command in an organization, the chain of command in an NFL organization. If you have a good chain of command from ownership to GM to head coach, I'm even going to throw the quarterback in there, you're probably a successful franchise. You think Kansas City has a good – you think they've had a good chain of command for the last 5 years? You think the Eagles – help me out with their GM's name, Kyle. Eagles GM.
Howie Roseman.
That guy got a tough go at it early on. You think he's got a good chain of command? You think it was a good idea to keep Nick Sirianni around? If you got a good chain of command, you're probably a good NFL team. If you got a bad chain of command, you're probably a bad NFL team. And sadly, the Dolphins fall under that right now with GM, head coach, and quarterback.
Would you rather be in the Dolphins situation or in the Jets situation?
Dolphins, because I don't think Aaron Glenn's... It's so unfair. Like you always say, it's probably unfair for me to say. Guy hasn't even had a year, but I just don't... I don't think I believe in Aaron Glenn as much as I love
his... I didn't believe in him once he first got there.
As much as I loved his chicken dance against Tampa Bay, which I think needs to be on the highlight tape of the NFL season this year, I had a problem with him and Ben Johnson taking interviews during a playoff game.
I did too.
So I'd rather be the Dolphins, because I don't think Aaron Glenn's the guy.
I agree with that. You can't give up 50 points to Washington after, you right. know, doing interviews.
And
all
I'm
week.
Sick of hearing.
Week, that, yeah, you can't do it.
And I'm sick of hearing how close you are to winning a game. You're 0-6, and you had a chance to win in London again. Give me the Dolphins.
They
Kyle.
Can't throw the ball. They can't. They can't.
You got
they
Justin Fields, brother. So yeah, I love you Justin. I love Justin. I love him. He's a Buckeye, but he stinks.
You could say that.
I'm not going to say it.
He stinks.
I'm not going to.
He's terrible.
I'm not going to say it.
They can't throw the ball.
I'm not going to say it. You won't hear me say it.
Jets got a lot of it. Would you rather be in the Miami Dolphins position or the Cleveland Browns?
Can I have a push? Because I think they're the same.
Would you rather be in the Miami Dolphins position or the Tennessee Titans?
Dolphins.
You'd rather be the Dolphins?
I'd rather be the
Tua
Dolphins.
Under contract for 2.5 more years.
You could shed that. You could.
I mean, no, he's playing. He's going to be playing.
You could, but you can move on from Tua. I really think
How?
You can.
You going to trade him?
You could trade him. You could eat the contract. I mean, I know it's different sports, Colin. I just watch the Milwaukee Bucks eat Damian Lillard's like $100 million contract.
I don't disagree, but you're gonna be that's $100 million.
Now, do you believe in Cam Ward? I think the question there, Kyle, hear me out on this. The question between the Fins and the Titans is if you believe in Cam Ward or not.
I can't.
That's
make,
the only thing that
thing.
Separates
I mean,
those
what?
Two organizations.
A
right
first
now.
Overall quarterback, which doesn't mean that you're walking into sunshine and rainbows. It does not mean that. It means you're walking in to a hellstorm. That's where you're going.
You have to be the savior. You got to be the savior
one
of the quarterback.
Pick, it doesn't happen anymore. These guys do not. The Andrew Luck situations happen twice a century. And these guys are not going to walk in as number one overall picks and just everything is going to work itself out. That's why I can't judge Cam Ward. And that's why I can't say he's going to be a bad player.
How about this?
I think he's had a bad couple of games, but he guys played six games.
I'll say the Dolphins, because of everything we've talked about today, because the Titans are in that cycle. The Titans are in the wheel that we talked about, the chain of command wheel of firing
I'd rather be the Dolphins, too, to add on to that because they could shift out the coach and the general manager at the same time.
Yep, and I personally think you could phase out Tua if it's buying him out, if it's fine. Colin, the quarterback play in the NFL is so bad. Some team that's so good. So one of these
Tua's going to play. He's going to play. But the thing is, if you get a new general manager, a new head coach, all right, there's your bridge. All right, now you can draft somebody and develop it. Now you can actually do it. Mm-hmm. You actually want to play the game? Guess what? All right, you get this first overall pick, a top four pick. You get a good quarterback, and guess what? We've looked at the college quarterbacks. There's not a lot of pro-ready guys.
There's not.
And you got Tom Brady spewing on Fox every 5 seconds saying, hey, the developmental system in college is a nightmare, and these guys are not ready. So all of a sudden, you can bring in a guy, and then you have Tua waiting there, and as long as you're patient with the previous quarterback, that's actually not a bad situation.
That's the
issue,
though.
With you.
The patience is, there's no patience.
I actually agree with you that I'd rather be the Dolphins than the Titans.
My thing is, and maybe, Colin, this is my cursed fandom, being a cursed Brown fan. I learned one thing. You draft a quarterback, so hard not to play him. Coach will panic.
Somebody will panic.
That's
why you need the new coach in there who knows that they're okay.
I personally thought it was time to play Dart, but I understand why you didn't want to play him. But I explained that's their last trump card. That's a fired man walking. The last trump card is a rookie quarterback. Now, granted, maybe the new coach isn't going to be in that situation where he feels pressured to play the young quarterback.
Because he's not going to get fired.
But at the same time, like, it's insanity to keep trotting out something that's not working. I don't know. It's a bunch of Dolphins over the Titans. My thing is Dolphins over Titans because of that week.
And I don't think Tua is completely unplayable. He's a lot better than what Deshaun Watson was. But it's a similar situation. If you're trapped underneath that contract and they're under the impression that they no longer want to play Tagovailoa, then it's going to be a situation where you have to start him.
Yeah, my issue with Tua, that clip, I didn't listen to the whole press conference, I got to say. But that clip right there, brother, you threw three interceptions in the game. I understand people aren't showing up.
He addressed this play.
My God. I mean, you were the reason you lost the game. I understand you're hurt that guys aren't showing up to player-only meetings. Don't throw three interceptions, you win the game. You got another one for me?
I was going to throw in Las Vegas. Would you rather be the Miami Dolphins or Las Vegas? That's an interesting one.
Vegas has the bridge.
They got money tied up with the bridge quarterback. They got a 75-year-old head coach. They got Brady involved, but it's another team that's a little directionless at the moment.
My issue, the head coach was brought in there to weather the storm. Has that storm been weathered this year? I would say
Can you give him more than six games to weather the storm?
I don't know, Kyle. They've been pretty pathetic outside of the team that just fired their head coach. Right?
I agree. Comparatively, you think a new coach would do any better?
No, I'm just saying, like, the direction. Like, what? Are you going to fire Guy Carroll after two years?
I think the idea with
that's
Carroll
my direction.
Is he's going to step down.
Okay,
that's going to be.
Well, I hope you have someone in,
two or three years
baking
maybe
in the oven
for five more years.
I hope Tom Brady has someone baking in the oven then. Is he going to step down and coach? Is Brady going to come out of the booth and coach? I don't know. I'd go with the Dolphins just because that looks directionless to me. The direction was for Carroll to come in and make him respectable. It's been six games. I haven't seen it.
I think I'd personally
Geno
rather
Smith
be the Raiders.
Has digressed.
I'd personally rather be in the Raiders spot.
Has Geno Smith looked better or worse?
He's terrible. I mean, he's played
But he
terrible.
Was good in Seattle. That's
It goes to show that his quarterback stability, and I understand it was the same coaching, but he was
And that's why I'll go with the
He was a couple years younger, and he's with a new team with a bad offensive line, and it's not working out.
Give me the Fins. I'd rather be the Fins than that.
I think I'd rather be Vegas there.
Brady, I love Tom Brady. I think he walks on water with me. He's my GOAT quarterback. So, like, if you got a guy like him in the organization, you're probably going to figure it out. But right now, I'd rather be the Dolphins because you're going to have a clean slate. They're going to be a blank canvas at the end of the year when they fire everybody. Now, we think if they bring back Chris Greer, we have another conversation. But I think they are going to fire everybody.
See,
so
the good
give me the
news,
Dolphins.
A good situation that I actually don't think is poor is the New Orleans Saints. because they got Kellen Moore in there, they got a stable general manager in there, and they've been competitive.
Yeah.
You know, they were in that Patriot game. Like, they were in the mix. They beat the Giants, and they beat the Giants pretty convincingly at that. They weren't even terrible against the Bills a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you know, they got steamrolled by the Seahawks and the all those other teams. But, like, other than that, the Saints, it's been poor. Has it been that bad? Probably not.
They're playing hard.
They're playing hard. Last
2-3 weeks,
they've
played hard.
They got a new coach in there, and they're going to have a pick of the litter to get a quarterback. That's why I think I'd rather be in a position, I think the Saints is a good one.
If you're going to say Justin Fields stinks, I think Spencer Rattler stinks.
Yeah, it's okay. He's not coming back next year.
I think he stinks. And I think Kellen Moore.
He's better than Fields.
Where is it, Colin?
I think the Jets would trade a third rounder for Rattler right now.
I agree. Can I ask you something, though? All these teams need quarterbacks. Where are they going to come from?
That's fine.
Where are they going? Is Dylan Gabriel going to be starting for a team next year? Is Shador Sanders? I mean, my thing is, I'm with you. There doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks in the draft this year. Wait, everyone's like Fernando Mendoza.
Right? Hold on.
Indiana's everybody's darling right now.
Show some respect.
Stop it.
He was great.
I'm not listening to Fernando Mendoza. After all the waffle we heard.
Show some respect.
About how this is the greatest quarterback draft ever. All those guys stink. And now you're going to tell me Fernando Mendoza's the savior?
Show some respect.
You love
Indiana. I'm not saying.
Anyway, but side note. But
Mike, Indiana's good.
The greater point.
It's won by 10.
We'll see.
Oregon. Ohio State couldn't do that last year.
It's a completely different team.
Oh, is it?
It's a completely different team. Completely different team.
Third in the ranking when I saw.
Quickly. To bring this
literally
back.
The same exact time of the year as well. It was the same weekend last year.
We have the extra hour today. We'll get to all of this. I want to bring everything full circle because the point I was trying to make is this isn't a quarterback-rich draft. And, like, I worry. There are so many teams that need quarterbacks. Like, they're going to come from guys who are on the bench right now. That's, like, backup quarterbacks are going to be getting gigs next year. Like, because there's just and to your point, no one starts a rookie to begin the season anymore. That's dead.
Because these guys aren't ready.
I'm not saying they are, but it was supposed to be a quarterback-rich draft of, like, fifth-year guys.
Let's give them some time. I mean, there's a ton of different players out there, but I agree. And, you know, there are a lot of issues with these college. We'll get into that.
Fernando Mendoza, that's everyone's savior.
Don't hate.
Oh, I'm hating.
Don't hate.
Threw a touchdown and an interception. He's the greatest quarterback ever.
You love everybody in the Big Ten but Indiana. Because I think Indiana intimidates you a little bit. Because I think they got a little bit more flair than Ohio State. I think that bothers you.
And quickly touching on this, because I know we got to take a timeout, brother. I just think it's Ohio State and nobody else in that conference this year. I was banking on Penn State being good. I was like Oregon went to damn near overtime with Penn State, and they just lost to Northwestern at home. And everyone's writing home about Cignetti winning against Oregon when they barely snuck by Penn State, who just fired their coach.
You can't transitive.
It's week by week. I understand it.
You can't transitive property your whole way.
It's week by week. I understand that, mate. At this point, it's a battle of attrition. Who looks the best throughout the entirety of a season? And that's why I think Ohio State is the only good team in the Big Ten.
So you don't think Indiana's any good?
I don't think anyone in the Big Ten is any good.
It's the craziest thing ever.
I really
Mike,
don't.
You know, you realize I'm they played the point. Same Illinois team that Ohio State played over the weekend, and they beat them by 60 points.
Yeah, at home.
Okay, that's
at home. And Ryan Day took the foot off the gas pedal.
Can we throw? Can we throw a little respect?
I watched that whole game. Day could have won that game by 50. They took the foot off the gas.
I mean, jeez, fine.
Cignetti's one of those coaches.
You don't respect Indiana because
Cignetti runs up to score. He's got no class.
The flair intimidates you.
He's got no class. Cignetti has no class when it comes to sportsmanship.
The flair intimidates you.
No.
It does.
I can't wait for the Big Ten champ. Granted, the Buckeyes got. Listen, they got to get there this season. And I think Camp Randall is going to be a game.
Please.
That's a tough place to play for the Buckeyes.
Wisconsin's going
to
lose.
Camp Randall historically has been a tough place to play for my Buckeyes.
How hard was it to play it on Saturday for Iowa? You don't know the score of that game? It was 37-0. Iowa. Mike. Iowa.
You're just See, I caught you in a trap. Big Ten's not good this year. There's
one
team
in the Big Ten. The season. The Big Ten's never that good.
There's one team. Yes, they are. They were amazing last year.
Tremendously overrated conference.
Dude, they were great last year.
Tremendously overrated conference.
OH, brother.
College sports gets me jazzed up for bowl season. The Boca Raton Bowl, maybe we'll see Indiana there. I mean, maybe we'll see Ohio State.
Penn State, no.
Maybe we'll see Ohio State.
You're going to see Ohio State at Hard Rock, but it's okay.
You're going to see Ohio State at the Boca Raton Bowl, maybe. Kicking off its 12th year, Tuesday, December 23rd, mark your calendars, 2 p.m., Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. The game is going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the group of five that are going to come together and battle it out for their chance at the title. Find more information today at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates. It is sunshine meets competitive bowl season. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd, Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. We'll have some fun. We'll loop in Christian Catt because James Franklin got fired over the weekend, and I want to see his state of the union with that godforsaken college program. We'll get into that and more next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Sitting in the studios, the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. You've been in the car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, fell on the stairs. My friend Mark's Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they like to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. They are the best in the business for a reason. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine now. All it takes is that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Do it today. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3, 888-760-3776. Christian Catt is our in-house Penn State fan.
Alumnus of Penn State, too. Give him some credit.
Give him some credit.
It's a good school to graduate from.
Penn State had a fun weekend, huh? They lost another bad loss to Northwestern.
God, you kids are brutal with each other, mate. You know, no sympathy for losing to one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. No sympathy at all.
I think Northwestern's a little underrated.
Oh, they stink.
Northwestern's not bad. And the coach has done a good job.
I was driving through Evanston, Illinois while that game went final.
Yeah.
I've been in the area.
I've been.
Penn State lost their third consecutive game. They lost back-to-back games as 20-plus point favorites.
First team in 30-plus years.
And it was a well-deserved firing. They did what had to be done. When you spend the same amount of money, dedicate the same amount of resources, have the same amount of talent comparable as some of the other teams in the Big Ten, and you are not reaching the same success, you need to make a change to the head coaching position. James Franklin got a lot of cracks at it. Eventually, the finger has to be pointed at the common denominator, which was the head coach. And he handled it with grace, as he did almost his entire career with Penn State. And I'm happy that James Franklin was able to bring Penn State back to national relevance, not national championship relevance, but college football relevance. And he just happens to not be the guy that's able to deliver a national championship.
And the good thing about how they did it is college is different than the NFL. We've been talking all in all about how some of these teams, it's not worth it to fire the coach in the middle part of the year because you don't want to get an interim in there just to screw things up and then get another guy in there after that. College, Penn State's going to have their coach before Thanksgiving. They're going to know who that is. They're going to know who that is internally. The other coach, wherever they hire him from, is going to know that internally as well. They're going to be ahead of the curve in terms of reestablishing the new regime. That's a problem with college sports, but that's how it goes. They're going to have a ton of guys already recruited. They're going to have the coaching staff already set, and they're going to have this head coach already done.
I'm with Christian in the sense of it was a deserved firing.
Deserved.
I've been seeing way too much people saying, oh, this was wrong, and it was the wrong move by the university, not to wait at least till the end of the year. No, man, you can't lose. You cannot lose that game at home.
And you want to recover fast, you got to do it early.
I understand, things happen in college football. I personally, as a Buckeye fan, the UCLA loss is unacceptable, number one.
UCLA's not bad, by the way. Go ahead.
But to follow it up with a home loss to one of the worst teams in conference, I felt bad for Christian. I did. I felt bad for Christian on Saturday.
No, you know what?
You want to know who I don't feel bad for, though? Sorry, Christian. You want to know who I don't feel bad for? It's James Franklin. Are you guys aware? For the next 6 years, Coach Franklin is going to be making $666,000 a month. Guys, $666,000 a month for the next 6 years. Wow. Can I be a fired head coach in college? Can I coach godforsaken state and underachieve and get fired so I can set up three generations of Rizzos? Yeah, I don't feel bad for Franklin. I do feel bad, though, for the Penn State fan, because I think that's a football program that should be competing for national titles. I think that's a football program that my worries for each year should be warranted for and not downplayed by my fellow Buckeye honkers going, oh, they're Penn State. They're going to Penn State. That needs to end. That, if I'm a Penn State fan, that needs to end immediately. You want to know the issue? I don't know who the hell you get. I don't have a clue on who to get.
Christian, you're probably ears to the street more than we have. I have my personal thoughts. I'm curious where you have heard number one and number two, where you want them to go to replace him.
I mean, you've got a inter-conference dominant win at Oregon happen hours after Penn State lost. Actually, an hour after Penn State went final, losing Northwestern. It's in Indiana with Kurt Cignetti. I think that's who you take. You can outbid Indiana hands down. He's doing a lot more with a lot less, and he's the right kind of jerk that this Penn State head coaching spot needs. I think he's the first option for Penn State.
Do you think he'd take it? I don't think he would.
You know, you have a lot more expectations. It depends on what type of guy Cignetti right. is. Because right. he might not admit as to why he wouldn't take it, because you have a lot more pressure and – you know, you might be the next James Franklin getting
fired.
He
also makes $8.5 million in Indiana. That's yeah, plenty of money. And Penn State's going to, you know, they might raise him, but they also still have $50 million on the books. And if they're going to hire him, it'd be for a $1 million raise, and Indiana could probably match that.
So apparently Franklin has this thing called duty to mitigate clause, which means he has to look for another job. And if he gets another job, he's probably going to get hired by a pretty good program as a head coach. And apparently the buyout would be lessened if that happens.
I see.
So it would lessen the $49 million buyout to like $18 million buyout. I'm not the best at these things, but apparently yeah. that number might be as it seems in terms of on Penn State's
books. And that's because he would be under contract with a new school who is paying him.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. It's all based on the contract. I haven't looked into that.
If he Coach O's out and just goes to Key West and hangs out for years, then because he, quote, didn't get a job, then there's that.
Franklin is making $918 a second right now being fired. Put that in perspective. Christian, 1 second went by. Who wants a new Xbox? Another second went by. Who wants a Nintendo Switch for $600? I mean, this is astronomical money. That doesn't surprise me at all that he is obligated to try to find a job. Virginia Tech is my best guess for Franklin, by the way. I don't have one for...
It's actually a good shout.
I don't have one for Penn State. I mean, maybe Kenny Dillingham, maybe Matt Campbell.
The thing is, Virginia Tech just fired the former defensive coordinator of Penn State, was their head coach.
Oh, so, I see.
So it's a weird little stink. I don't know if they would want to go in that direction again, but hiring someone's DC versus hiring their head coach are different things.
Let's say Cignetti says no. Where do you turn after that?
Matt Rhule is from State College, Pennsylvania.
Did you see the sound on him talking about that? Very weird.
It was 2 minutes of just saying, I like Nebraska. Me and I think the name of the AD yep. were dedicated to doing good things here and rebuild Nebraska.
What is he supposed to say?
Do you want to know what it sounded like to me, though? Penn State, please call me. You're my alma mater, and I would 100% take that job. Now,
that, I think, is the most likely of the bunch.
Now, Rhule, you like what he's done at Nebraska? Has he made him respectable the three, four years he's been there?
I mean, they're 5-1. And they got another year of Loyola if you think he's a good player.
Hold on. You're the one who talks to me all the time about where are your big wins and this and that. When was the last time we've beaten a ranked team in Nebraska? What was that? Martinez and Ndamukong Suh in 2016? That's my pushback. Guys never won a big game.
Never won a big game. Not there.
That's my pushback.
They did it with Baylor, sure. But he's not there.
Their big win was against Colorado last year, early in the regular season.
They smoked them. They smoked them.
Turning of the card. It didn't end up being.
To that good shout, Christian, because Shador blamed his offensive line, and remember, everyone lost their mind.
So Matt Rule's an option. I think Kurt Cignetti is option number one. Then you go to Matt Rhule. Joe Brady is an option. Al Golden would be an option. Apparently, there's NFL talk. This is all speculative, and my buddy has like the $8.99 a month subscription to the dirt sheets.
The dirt sheets.
Franklin getting fired before anybody else.
Christian,
I probably could have told you that as well.
How do I not know what the dirt sheets is?
The dirt sheets. It's
it's the fans with sources in a newsroom that they gatekeep.
Colin,
they gatekeep and make you pay a subscription to be involved.
Colin, I had a segment called Hashtag, and it was literally called Hashtag Fans with Sources. One of the favorite things I've ever done on radio. But, oh, I love it, Christian. Who are they saying? Who are your buddies saying?
All right, so,
who are the Hashtag Fans with Sources saying?
So, one of the lead staff members of this message board said it's too early to place bets, but my money's not on Cignetti.
I think Cignetti's happy where he is.
He doesn't want it. He's not
going anywhere.
He just signed a contract getting $8 million a year.
And
he's a god at Indiana. That team was...
They're going to name the stadium after him.
Guys, they were the worst... I'm factually correct. They were the worst Big Ten team for about the last 8 years. And he came in there, and now they're... We could sit here and talk about if Indiana's good or not.
Top five in the AP poll.
Then they're probably the second. It hurts for me to say this as Big Ten Mike. They're probably the second best team in the Big Ten. God, you. Darn you, Penn State.
Yeah.
Damn it, Christian.
Josh Pate is saying Iowa State's Matt Campbell would be a great option.
I think that's also a good one.
Hang on. Northeast Ohio guy, born and bred football guy. Listener to the Old Man Show, by the way. Love Matty Campbell.
I think that would be also makes a lot of sense. He's young. I think Iowa State is a little. They had an awful game against Colorado over the weekend. Oh my God!
But it wasn't as awful as deciding to storm the field if you're a Colorado Buffalo student,
which is hilarious as well because Iowa State stinks. Anybody who watched that game, think we should not storm this field. This team stinks.
What was the spread in that game? They were like ranked 24th.
Yeah.
By definition, it was unranked versus ranked.
Well, hang on,
but barely.
We got the fifth quarter today. We'll do it for our dogs of the weekend.
Yeah,
if I don't think they were dogs.
Oh, they weren't. Colorado weren't dogs.
Yeah, Colorado was
they
two.
Had to be
they
dogs.
Were 1-4 going to the game. Two and four going to the game.
All right. So Matt Campbell, you said Matt Campbell, Cignetti, and guys, these are all like.
If I had to put my money somewhere, I think Rule's gonna
ask
get it.
Ask me, Christian. Do me a favor. Ask me if I would rather have Matt Rule or Matt Campbell rather than James Franklin. I know that was a tongue twister.
You want the Mats or Franklin?
I'd rather have James Franklin.
Really?
I would.
Why?
I think he's the better coach. He's done more than those guys.
What has James Franklin done?
I understand. Listen.
You can't answer that question.
James Franklin's been to a college football semifinal. He's won a Big Ten championship.
All right, he went to a college football semifinal beating two teams that
stink. He gets the better athlete than any of those guys. I agree, though, that Penn State needed to change the scenery. Fine.
You know he's 14-30 in top 25 games?
And I told you they needed to do the firing. I told you they needed to do it. I just worry for Penn State is that is Matt Campbell going to get – you got to make sure this next hire is going to get you over the hill. You fired this guy because he can't get you over the hill. And that's why I don't envy the situation. Like last year I thought I was going to be in the situation with Day. Day lost to Michigan, and I thought we were toast in the playoff. I thought we were going to be what you guys were right now.
James Franklin or Ohio State coordinator Brian Hartline?
You're not touching Hartline.
We touch whoever we want to touch.
Because when Ryan...
Well, wrong guy.
Listen,
wrong school to talk about that.
When Ryan Day, one of the best coaches in college football, thank you, Coach Day, for the championship, decides to leave, that's who steps in. And I think that's... Granted, he's got work. He's got to learn how to call some plays. That's the one thing I'll say about Hartline.
That feels important.
The play calling hasn't been best this year. That's my only nitpick of the team is the offensive play calling. But I think whenever Coach Day decides to move on to the NFL, I think that's who steps in for Ohio State.
Tell you what, I got as big of a fan of Penn State football as I have ever been watching Penn State athletic director Pat Kraft talk about the firing, talk about James Franklin, thanking him for what he did, what this coaching search will be about. He shed tears because Drew Aller, when he was brought up and his season-ending ankle injury, I got radicalized as a Penn State football fan.
We haven't even brought it up. Drew Aller, talk about somebody who could have declared, probably would have been a top five pick, all things considered, based on just the amount of good quarterbacks that were in the realm. You know, he was probably more sought after than Jackson Dart was, at least in terms of the offseason. You could just see how people would run away with the prospect of Aller. He is, and right, if he declares, I mean, and he's done, I believe, after this year in terms
he
of,
is.
So he's going to be declaring.
It's ridiculous.
Is that guy, is he going to be a day, is he going to be picked on the third day?
So,
probably.
So
he is going to be the Steelers, fourth round pick at quarterback.
He's going to be the Will Howard.
It's going to happen.
Him and Will Howard are going to be battling for reps behind Rodgers if Rodgers decides to run it back.
That kid and I drank the same water up in Northeast Ohio. I am sick to my stomach that's what happened. Now listen,
He bet on himself and completely lost.
What he said after the USC or the UCLA game, I think that was just frustration. A lot of people got on him for that. I think that's just frustration.
We're saying, quote, what do you think when asked if Penn State is still alive?
Yeah,
in the
and like he could have went at it in a more well mannered, like I guess tone. But I protect my own, man. He comes from a good family in Medina. I'm sick for him. I am. I'm sick for that kid.
He's not very good at quarterback.
You know what sucks,
I'm
though?
I'm sick for him.
Seeing
honestly.
Him in the Dodge Ram commercials after watching Penn State lose to Northwestern. Oh. That's a big slap in the face to me if I've ever seen
You know
one.
What? Good. I'm happy that young man's getting paid because he would have got paid a lot more, to your point.
He's
if he would have
got paid a lot less when he goes to the NFL.
That's exactly. He should be making a lot more because he would have been a top pick.
Yeah, he would be getting Brian Daboll fired right now if he declared. That's what he would be doing.
And sadly, and I just got done telling you how much I like the kid. He reminds me of Christian Hackenberg. It's probably what his NFL career will be. Penn State quarterback.
Yeah, he'll be Penn State podcasting. That's what Hack's doing right now.
No. Allen would be getting Brian Daboll fired right now.
He might be hopefully a good Karma Brands teammate up in Cleveland.
Maybe.
Oh, Drew Haller?
Yeah, get him on the air.
Why would he go to Cleveland?
Because he grew up a town over from me.
So.
Oh, he's a Bengals fan.
Oh.
No, he's not. Is he? I don't know. I mean, he literally went to Medina. I called his high school games back in 2019 with Matty Fontana.
All right. Did you know, you couldn't tell then that this guy's not going to be a great college quarterback?
He was unreal. He threw for like 5 touchdowns in a game against, was it Benedictine? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
All I can tell you is that that guy is not very good at a quarterback. That's what I can tell you.
He was good. And listen, over his 4 years, I think he was more good than bad. The problem is he would throw the nail in the coffin interception. That was his MO.
He's Sean Clifford with a better 24/7 rating. That's what he was.
I am looking forward, looking ahead of these future games on Penn State football's schedule, which they will be without their head coach. They'll have interim Coach Harrison.
And a new quarterback.
Yes, and Grunkmeyer in a QB. They go on the road at night at Iowa. Kinnick Field. They're going to be jazzed up for that game. It's going to be a tough one. Then they hit the road to take on Ohio State. What would you guess the spread is? Look ahead right now.
Iowa's next week.
Yeah, Iowa next week and then Ohio State. Or 2 weeks from next week.
I would say Iowa's favored by 7.5 points or 8.5 points. And I would say Ohio State is favored by 19.5.
23.5, I think, for Ohio State.
Well, Iowa's favored by 3.5 points.
Wow, I'm surprised by that.
I don't know if this number is accurate or if this is a preseason number. They have an Ohio State -4, which feels like wrong, right? And I think that's incorrect assessment.
Iowa was favored on the road against Wisconsin by 5.5 points. I'm surprised at home against a team that just washed house is going to be 3. I'm surprised by that.
Christian, aren't you allowed to jump in the portal immediately once a coach gets fired? How many kids jumped in the portal, do you know?
Didn't see portal numbers yet, but I saw the like a big Santa's sack of decommitments from Penn State.
Yeah, the top 2027 running back literally visited for the All Northwestern right. game and told those poor people that he wasn't coming right after the game.
It's All okay.
Right.
Whoever gets hired will take some good talent with them. Dylan Raiola, starting quarterback of Penn State Nittany Lions.
That's what happens. VitaCost Sports Certified Marketplace, it's available. It's built for athletes, people who want to be fitness enthusiasts, just want to get in better shape, who want to train hard, understand the benefits of what clean supplementation and nutrition can do for you. You've got to realize that when you put in the work, when you go put in the hours, early mornings, it's not just about putting in the physical extraneous work. It's about what you feed your body as fuel in and around it. Whether you're prepping for a triathlon, grinding at the gym, trying to be a little bit more health conscious, just want to get in better shape, VitaCost is your go-to for taking the next step in your performance. Their Sports Certified Marketplace, they got over 400 sports enhancing supplements that are all certified, which means that they're free of any banned substances. You know that there's no funny business going on. They're all safe and they all help you level up your game. Visit vitacost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase today. Use code ESPN20 for 20% off. That's code ESPN20. Level up your game at Vitacost. We'll get into the 5 p.m. hour, do a little 5 and 5 on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.